The fly-speckled lettering on the window read,
"The Bright Spot Restaurant." Great.
There was a counter joint with a single row of hard-backed booths lining one wall. Half a dozen customers squatted on stools at the end of the counter near the door. He walked past them, slid into a stool at the far end. There he sat, staring at the three waitresses. None of them looked right to him, but he had to take a chance. He waited until one of the women approached him.
Yours, mister?
Something cool. Say, does Mrs. Helen Krauss work here?
I'm Helen Krauss.
She didn't look right to him either. But the lady said she was Helen. He guessed she ought to know. But she didn't look right. He looked her over. He had no time for women. Women try and make a monkey out of a man, all women. Women have to be treated rough. There's no other way to treat women. No woman, though, would ever make a monkey out of him. Not Rusty Connors. She went to get him something cool, and he sat and worked things out.
What kind of a switch is this? Mike said she was tall, cool, blonde, and stacked. This one's tall, but boy, that's about it. But it still could be okay. With what I got in mind at the end, it doesn't matter what she looks like. Helen Krauss, huh?
Beyond Midnight.
There you are. Try that.
What is it?
Kind of drink. Not liquor. We don't serve liquor. It's cool.
Yeah? I'm looking for a Helen Krauss who used to live over in Norton Center. She was married to a man named Mike.
That's me. So what's all this about?
I got a message from your husband.
Mike? He's dead.
I know. I was with him when he died. Or just before, anyway. I'm Rusty Connors. We was cellmates for 2 years.
A message.
I can't talk here. What time you get off?
7:30.
Good. I'll meet you outside.
Make it down the corner, across the street, to the park.
Okay.
And he went without looking back. Her hair was a dull, mousy brown. She tipped the scales at 170 at least. She wore glasses, too. Mike must have been mad. He had said she looked like the dame who played the dumb blonde on TV. And when it came to loving... Still, Rusty Connors had other things in mind, and anyway, what was a woman? The world was rotten with them, and not one of them would ever make a monkey out of him. Connors just hoped that Mike had been telling the truth about the other thing. He hoped Mike had been telling the truth about hiding away the $56,000.
Yeah, it stays light longer these days. Guess summer's really coming at last. So, what's all this about? What message did Mike say to give?
Smoke?
No, thanks. I don't smoke. So what...
He told me a lot about you, Helen.
He wrote a lot about you, too. Said you were the best friend he ever had.
I'd like to think so. Mike was a great guy in my book. Both of us got a bad break, I guess. I was just a kid who didn't know the score. The boss handed me the suitcase full of dough and said to get out the back way. Next thing I knew, there was this copper coming at me. I hit him with a case. So the copper ends up with a fractured skull and dies.
He had a tough deal.
So did he, Helen. An honest John like him up and knocking off his best friend in a payroll stick-up. And all alone, too. And then getting rid of the body so they'd never find him. They never did find Pete Taylor, did they?
I don't want to talk about it, please.
I know how you feel.
And he took her hand. It was plump and sweaty.
It was just circumstantial evidence that pinned it on him, wasn't it?
And he went up for 10 years.
And did too, and died. But he never told how he got rid of the body. And he never told where he put the dough.
That's right. Guess they beat him up something awful. He wouldn't tell them a thing.
He ever tell you?
What do you think? I've been working for 2 years in that lousy hash joint. Does that sound like he told me anything?
What would you do if you found the money, Ellen? Would you turn it over to the cops?
What for? To say thank you for putting Mike away and killing him? He paid for that money with his life. I'm his widow. It belongs to me. It's mine.
Ours, Ellen.
He told you where he hid it. Is that it?
Just a little. I heard enough to give me a pretty good hunch. I figured if I came here, talked to you, we could put things together, find the dough. 56 G's, he said. Even if we split it, that's still a lot of money.
What are you cutting me in for if you know where it is?
Because like I told you, he didn't say enough. We'd have to figure out what it means and then do some hunting. I'm a stranger around here. People might get suspicious if they saw me snooping. But if we worked together, maybe there wouldn't be any need to snoop. We could go right in.
Business deal, is that it?
Not all business, Helen. Maybe I'm screwy, but... well, maybe you don't know what 2 years inside is like to a man like me. Without a woman to sometimes talk soft to.
I know what 2 years for me, too.
Like I need someplace to go that's quiet and restful.
I got a place that's quiet, Rusty. And restful. Talking now?
Sure.
I thought maybe we'd better make plans.
Mm. Yeah, you're right, baby. Well, let's start at the beginning with what Mike told me before he died. He said they'd never find the money because Pete still had it.
Is that all?
What more do you want? It's plain. The dough's with Pete Taylor's body.
For 2 years, all the cops in the county haven't been able to find the body. Thought you had something. I was wrong. Should have known.
All we have to do is figure out where to look.
Sure. Real easy.
Think back now. Where'd the cops look?
They searched our place, of course. No dice.
Where else?
Well, sheriff's men combed the woods. Even dragged the lake. Taylor was a bachelor. He had a shack in town and went on the lake, too. Ripped them both apart. Even drained the quarry. Dug up ditches, everything.
Pete Taylor and your husband were pals, right?
Yeah, they got along great together.
Well, what do? They drink? Play cards? What?
Mostly they hunted. Fished. Like you say, Pete had this shack on the lake, 3 miles out of Norton Center. I tell you, they dug up everything around there, floor bars, everything.
What about sheds, boathouses?
Well, there was nothing else on the property. When they went fishing, they borrowed a boat from the neighbors. Don't think I haven't tried to figure it out.
For 56 grand, there's got to be an answer. What happened when Taylor was killed? Maybe there's something you forgot about.
I don't know. Mike just found himself in the car with Pete and the money, and he just decided to do it.
Well, they said it was planned. They said he knew it was payroll day, and Pete always went to get the cash in his car. Mike must have been waiting in the parking lot behind. They reckon Mike stole Pete's keys so he couldn't get started. Then when the guard had left, they said Mike walked over and just discovered Pete there.
Yeah, I guess something like that.
He came home to you, what'd he say?
Oh, nothing much. Squad car pulled up 2 minutes after he got in.
So he did it and hid the body and the money in between going out and coming back to you. He put up any struggle?
He never said a word. Just took him away. It was a big fuss because his gun was missing. They never found it. They didn't believe him when he said he lost it months before.
Did you believe him?
Well, I don't know.
Anything else?
Well, he had a cut in his hand. It was bleeding a little when he came in. I noticed it. And he said something about rats. He was halfway up the stairs. I didn't hear too good. Later in court, he said he'd caught his hand on the window glass, and that's why there was blood in the car. But they analyzed the blood, and it wasn't his. Check with Pete Taylor's blood type record.
But when he got home, he told you a rat bit him.
No, he just said something about rats. I couldn't quite make out what. In court, a doctor testified he'd gone upstairs and cut his hand with a razor. They found the razor. There was blood in it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's beginning to add up. A rat did bite him. Maybe when he was getting rid of the body. But if anybody knew, they'd look for a place where there was rats. So he covered up by opening up the wound with his razor. Yeah.
Well, maybe, but where does that leave us? We're not going in every place with the rats in Norton Center.
I hope not. I hate to blame things. Give me the creeps. Used to see them in the service hanging around the docks. Great big fat things. Just a minute. You say when Pete and Mike went fishing, they borrowed a boat from the neighbors. Where'd the neighbors keep their boat?
Well, they had a boathouse.
The cops searched there? Did they?
I don't know. I guess so.
Maybe it didn't look good enough. Were the neighbors on the property that day?
No.
You sure?
Sure enough. They're dead. They were a city couple from Chicago, name of Thomason. 2 weeks before the payroll robbery, they got themselves killed in an auto accident on the way home.
Sure is a healthy place. Everybody dies. So nobody was around at all, and Mike knew it.
Do you think that...
Who's living in the neighbor's place right now?
Well, no, on the last I heard. You see, they didn't have any kids, and the real estate man couldn't sell it. Pete Taylor's place vacant, too. Same reason.
It adds up. It adds up. If I'm right, it adds up to 56 grand.
Oh, darling.
When can we go?
Tomorrow, if you like.
Hmm?
It's my day off. We could use my car. Oh, darling, I'm so excited.
Oh. And Mike's Helen leaned all over him and kissed him, and he had to pretend to like it. He had to pretend to like it for 56,000 reasons.
What are you thinking about, darling?
He opened his mouth, and the truth popped out.
All that dough. 28 G's a piece.
Does it have to be a piece, darling?
Plus, you want it that way.
And he smiled cruelly. But she couldn't see because it was dark. And her mouth nibbled at his ear and he felt slightly sick. But of course, she couldn't know that either. 56,000. His mind went back to the money. It would all be his after they'd found it. All he had to do was to rub her out. It was a good job it was dark. She couldn't read what was in his eyes. No woman would ever make a monkey out of Rusty Connors. He spent the morning and afternoon with her in her room, because he had to. There was no sense in letting them be seen in the town together. By the time twilight came, he would have killed her anyway, just to be rid of her. She was so hungry. Anyway, when the light went a little, he didn't have to face act anymore. The important thing was to find that black metal box. After a while, Connors went downstairs and walked around the block a couple of times. Later, she picked him up in her car, and they went to the neighbor's place. They parked the car behind Pete Taylor's shack.
Here, flashlight. Suppose you want to go straight down to Thompson's place, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Ain't no use looking around here. You see, the cops took Taylor's place pretty thoroughly apart.
They sure did.
Down this way, to the left. Be careful, the path's slippery.
It was treacherous going in the darkness. Rusty followed her, wondering if now was the time. He could pick up a rock, and he decided he'd better wait. First, see if the money was there, and see if there was a good place to leave her body. Connors contemplated murder like some men contemplate the baseball results. There had to be a good place. Mike had found them. They found the boathouse. It was padlocked. He picked up a rock.
Stand back.
Inside, they needed the flashlight. They saw the glow of 100 little cigar butts winking at them like eyes. He realized they were eyes.
Rats. Looks like our hunch was right.
Helen moved behind him. She wasn't afraid. He was. He didn't like rats. In places, the concrete floor was just rubble. Connors flashed the light around. Around and back again.
It's no use. It couldn't be this easy.
There's still a house. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Notice anything? The roof.
What?
The roof. It's higher than the ceiling.
So what?
There could be a space up there.
Yeah,
space
but...
up there. And, you think?
You reckon?
Could be.
What?
Come on.
Where are you going?
Up the house. We need a ladder.
And he went to the house for a ladder. And he didn't have to break in either. He found a ladder. And all the time he was looking for it and carrying it back to the boathouse, he thought of the money.
And now we'll see. This is what I've been waiting for. For so long.
Me too. You don't even know, Rusty. Oh, I hope. I'll go on, climb up.
Wait, just wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, darling. I just want us to find it and get away from this place and begin living.
Yeah, begin living. Sweating all those lousy years inside. Wondering what I was going to do when I got out. Well, for the last part of it,
He imagined he heard tiny scutterings and scrapings from up above. He thought of Mike and the bleeding hand. He thought of the eyes like cigar butts. He always hated rats. Still, he didn't mount the ladder.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. Why should anything be the matter?
Why didn't you go up? It's got to be up there.
I know
nowhere
that.
Else.
I know it.
Well?
Look, will you lay off a minute?
It's just that by the time it's light...
Okay, I know,
light,
I know.
You shouldn't be seen around here when it's not dark anymore.
I think I don't know that.
You want me to go up there? I said
I heard
you
what
want...
you said. No. No, I'll go up. Just...
You scared or something?
Scared? You must be nuts.
Huh?
Yeah,
It seemed pretty solid. There was a layer of tar paper.
Keep that flashlight steady, huh? Hey, what are you doing?
Sorry, I just...
Huh? What are you doing?
Yeah. There's a crowbar here. I found a crowbar. You want it?
Yeah, well...
Did you hear the crowbar?
Wait, I'll come down and get it. Yeah. I can use a crowbar. For two things.
Here.
Okay.
What's there? Is there a space between...
Yeah, I guess so. A lot of paper.
Paper?
Tar paper, you know. Stuck over. I guess I was put there after...
Yeah. Well, go up. Go see.
Okay.
You find anything?
Oh, go to
Just hang on, Helen.
I've been hanging on. For 2 years I've been hanging on.
Yeah, we won't have to hang on much longer, baby. Not much. No. Look.
Huh? What'd you say, Ethan?
I said not much longer, Helen. I need the flashlight, Helen.
Here. Shine it so that I can get down, will you?
Sure.
In the space between the roof and the ceiling. He was scared of the rats and of not finding anything. But he needn't have worried. He didn't have to look for long. The flashlight picked out the tin box, and then the flashlight moved a bit behind the box and... The flashlight picked out the thing. Rusty knew it was Pete Taylor because it had to be, but there was no way of identifying it. The rats, a skeleton, and a black metal box. The bills were in stacks. He smelled the money, kissed it. It smelled good. It smelled of perfume and tenderloin steak and the leathery seat cover aroma of a shiny new car.
What have you found? You found anything?
Yeah, it's here. I've got it. Hold the ladder. I'm coming down.
He handed her the crowbar and the flashlight. But he kept his fingers on the black metal box. He wanted to hold that himself. It was going to be easy. He'd figured it all out in advance. Everything, that is, except the part about handing her the crowbar. That's what she used to hit him with. He must have been out for 10 minutes at least. Was long enough for her to find the rope from somewhere anyway. Perhaps she kept it in the car. Wherever she got it from, she knew how to use it. He opened his mouth, but... When he looked up and blinked at Helen Krause, he saw that she wasn't wearing her glasses.
I don't need them anymore now. I never did. It was all part of the act, like letting my hair go black and putting on all this weight. For 2 years now, I've put on this dumb slob routine just so nobody would notice me. When I leave town, nobody's going to pay any attention either. Sometimes it's smart to play dumb, you know? Oh, yeah, I know. Too bad. I suppose you're finally beginning to figure it out. Mike never meant to pull off any payroll job. Pete and me, we've been cheating on him for 6 months. That day, he just went downtown to kill Pete. Never even thought about the money. Perhaps he was planning on killing me, too. I wouldn't know. I never got the chance to ask where he'd taken Pete or what he'd done with the money. The first thing I did when Mike came home and said what he'd done was to cover up for myself. I swore it was all a pack of lies, that Pete and me hadn't done anything wrong. I said we'd take the money, Mike and me, and go away and start all over again. I was selling him on this when the cops came. He couldn't write to me from prison because they censored all the mail, so my only out was to wait until he came out or somebody else came. And that's how it worked out. Why did I conk you on? For the same reason you were going to conk me. Don't try and deny it. I know creeps like you from way back. And now I'm leaving here. Leaving the dumb waitress prison. I'm going to shed 40 pounds and bleach my hair again. And I'm going to look good again. Oh, incidentally, Mike tells me all about knots. You'll never get free. They'll never find you, just like they'll never find me. I'll put the lock back on that door when I go. There's nothing to tie the two of us together. It's clean as a whistle.
And Helen Krause took the money and left. and she locked the boathouse door behind her. All that remained of her was a pair of shattered spectacles. Connors lay gagged and bound, and after a while, the rats came back.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.